God is going to bless us with what we call the Beatitudes. And these are the great sayings of God to us. For many years, the Israelites were ruled by law, which is holy and good. But it served as a pointer to sin, to let them know how sinful, or to let us know how sinful we are. But by God's grace, He redeemed us from the law and from sin, so that we can live abundant lives for Him. And not only live our lives for Him, but draw others into His kingdom. That is the whole plan of God. That is the workings of the Holy Spirit within us. Because when Jesus left this earth, He said to His followers, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel of the good news of Christ." And He would send a comforter, the Holy Spirit, which will dwell in us and enable us to accomplish God's good plan and live life even more abundantly. So that is why we are here tonight. That's the whole purpose of our lives. Yes, we enjoy it. We have sorrows sometimes, problems, but we overcome them by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And so, briefly, we will look at the sayings of Jesus, which are very famous all over the world. And it's referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, on the mountain. May all my words tonight and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in the sight of God, our King, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen?
Amen.
So, in today's presentation, or tonight's presentation, I'd like to look at what Jesus said and the way we should live in this time as mighty children of God. A good place to look is found in the scripture in Matthew, the Bible book of Matthew, and it is chapter 5, verses 4 to 12. Let's review some of the verses one by one. The first thing that Jesus told them and is telling us today, that we are blessed. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, what does that mean? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Many believe that the kingdom of heaven is different from the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven being the reserve of overcoming Christians who walk in the spirit and not according to fleshly lusts. So we are blessed if we are poor in spirit. This does not mean not having spirit or drive. It means to be humble in spirit. Humble in place of poor. If we put humble in place of poor, you will see what Jesus meant. He wants us to approach God, realizing that we need Him in all areas of our lives. We need Holy Spirit as our guide 24/7. And we need Jesus as our Savior and Lord of our lives. So whatever we do, wherever we are, we put Him first. We can't always be here gathered together in church, but it's our entire lives that count with God. So when we humble ourselves, we put God first. We are not Lord of our lives anymore. We're not under law anymore. We're under grace, which is what saves us. And then we can be used by God, and in due time, He will lift us up. So now we are on the journey, we are on the path, and that's what we're doing. Humbling ourselves, it doesn't mean humble that people walk all over you. No. It means that you personally put God first in your life, and everything else will be added. The next thing Jesus said, He said, blessed are you. He said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Mourn? Blessed? Yes. Many believe that this is not just referring to mourning, the physically dead, but also the mourning, the spiritually dead, who live by competition and greed. So, someone could be physically alive walking around, but spiritually they're dead. And we want them to know the love of God. In Ezekiel 9, verse 4 to 6, we read this. And the Lord said to him, pass through the city, through Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations that are committed in it. And in the others, and to the others, he said in my hearing, pass through the city after them and strike. Your eyes shall not spare and shall show no pity. Kill all men outright, young men and maidens, little children and women, but touch no one on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So there will come a time when God will say, going against my moral will ends here. So people can behave as they like at the moment, but there'll come a time when God will say, enough. And woe betide those who have not followed him. And being in his sanctuary, it means being in the house of God. The building, we refer to the building as a church, but we know the real church is you yourself, all of us, the real church of God. But all in his sanctuary, that's where he will start. So we must be followers and not hangers on. We must not serve God for what we can get. We serve God because he is great. And he's worthy of our praise and worship and fellowship. So all of us want to be in the category that we are in his sanctuary and we're doing his will. And we'll be blessed. We're blessed now, coming in and going out. The next thing Jesus said, he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Again, what does that mean? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Remember, meek is one, is not weak. Meek is not weak. Moses was meek. Jewish writings tell us that he was a general in the Egyptian army. He was not weak. Though many people feel that if you're meek, you're weak. No. Jesus was meek. The money changers can certainly report that he was not weak. Remember the story? He went into the temple and there were selling and in the temple. And he had righteous indignation. He was angry. And he overturned the tables. That's not a sign of weakness. So, biblical meekness is strength. Under godly culture, under godly control, meekness is not weakness, it is strength. So bear that in mind. When you hear about meekness, don't think again you must be timid. No, you must be bold. You must be with the strength of God, and you're meek. See, the English words, the meaning changes over time. If you say somebody's meek, you think they're a weakling. No, they're a strong person in Christ. Amen. The next thing Jesus said, we're getting through them, aren't we? Are we understanding? Yes, we are. If you understand, you can say amen or yes, or shake your heads, indicate. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled. Those who have made great, who have given their hearts to God and seek after his righteousness will have Jesus' righteousness imputed to them. When they ask, they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. As Reverend Millen said earlier, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was asking how many have received the Holy Spirit, we can say, yes, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We're changed. We can do things we couldn't do before in Christ. So let us all strive. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, we feel we don't have to, we ask God. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. So each and every one of us here, we may be small in number, but we are powerful in strength because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, which we receive freely from God if we ask him, merely ask him. If you would like some water, you ask for some water. You receive the water. If we are imperfect and we know how to give good gifts to each other and to our children, how much more our Heavenly Father would give us good gifts. So ask the Holy Spirit and you will receive it, and you will be mighty in God. We will be holy, and we can be effective ministers of God. We don't have to be ordained. We are already ordained by God to do the work that he wants us to do. Because in the end, he said, he will fill us. We will be hungry no more. We will be holy, just as God is holy. Can you believe that? We will be holy, just as God is holy. We will be enabled to live in grace, by grace, through faith. By grace, that is God's loving kindness, through faith, that's all belief in that promise. Sometimes we hear these words, grace, law, faith, and we're confused. What does it all mean? Well, Jesus explained all that. But we must remember that was 2,000 odd years ago, and he was talking to that generation. We have to apply it to ourselves today, because God's word is alive, and it's like a sharper than any two-edged sword. So how does that apply to us? You read the Bible, oh yes, he did that, he said that, that was the law. How does it apply to us today? That's the important thing. So we are beginning to understand what all this means. Grace will teach us to say no to all unrighteousness and to live upright and self-controlled lives in this present age. In other words, right now. Do not feel I'm unable to do that. Oh, I keep being bothered by that sin. It's tempting me all the time. With God, we get the strength and we have his grace to overcome it all. Just ask him for his goodness. Then, as we coming to the end, he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Merciful, obtain mercy. How does that affect us? Why is he saying all these things? Yes, while we were yet sinners, we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. We came to him, we throw ourselves upon him, we ask for his mercy, and he freely forgives all of us. Each one and all together. Isn't that wonderful news? That's the good news of the Bible. That's the good news of the gospel. Every single person. We want to invite others to come to church to learn about the Bible. You don't have to sit at home and talk, I don't know what this means, I don't know what that means. Shut the Bible. No, come here. Reverend Milan and everybody will be explaining God's word to us so we can understand and we can implement it in our lives and live happy, abundant lives. So we urge you now. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. It was true 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked there. It's just as true today. In fact, even more so as we see the end drawing near. And the days are getting more and more violent, uncertain. The people in the world are lost. And if we could shine a light in their lives, first of all, we have to be the light. So we have to imbibe God's word and then give it out to everyone. It said the disciples got to a point where if they passed by a crowd, the atmosphere changed. That's how we can be, even more so today in this violent age. So imbibe yourself with God's word. Act it out in your lives. Trust in God. Have faith. Ask for God's grace, and we will have it. We're not under that strict law that thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. No. We can just ask God for his grace, his loving kindness, his mercy. That's what it says here. That's what Jesus said to all those people there, and is still saying to us today. The next one was, we are blessed if we are pure in heart. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart shall see God. On the simplest level, this could be referring to the time after our death or rapture when we are resurrected. On the other hand, it could be referring to this very age. When you believe, you will receive and see your questions to God answered. How many of us have so many questions today? So many questions. When you are living according to God's guidance and you see his favor in your life, that is seeing God. God in action. When you see and hear of miracles, answers to prayers, how many of us, since coming here, have had miraculous things happen in our lives? Reverend Miller can tell you of quite a few. Some we don't even know about. But each one who attends here, I can assure you, you will receive, if you have not yet received, miracles in your life. Now, just name a few other points because we don't want to go on too long. And he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Isn't just that wonderful? Sons of God means we are God's children. People in the world say, oh, everybody's God's children, he made us all. No. We will be called sons of God, children of God. We are spreading peace, or we should be spreading peace, or we are amongst those who spread discord and war? Do we want to be really with those? We see the atrocities carried out in some of the African countries and so on. We don't really, and Syria, we don't want that. We don't want that for our world. As children of God, we live in love, and our hearts and lives will reflect that love of Christ. Jesus reconciled us to God, and God the Father was in Christ, reconciling us to himself. You see the link there of Jesus. He was divine, but he came as in flesh, the baby, as we are, to see what we are suffering and to redeem us. So now we have been given, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And we are to tell everyone how they can also be reconciled to God and bring peace to all men. That's wonderful. When you consider us simple human beings, you and I can reconcile people to God in accordance with his great plan, bring them into his kingdom. All men and women need to know that Jesus died for them. Some people don't know that yet. They live their lives, they get up, they eat, they sleep, they work, they have fun, and they go back again, and 24/7 that goes on and on and on, never hearing a word about Jesus. About the faiths as well. We need to tell them about Jesus, because Jesus didn't just die for Christians, for the whole world, every single person. They may call themselves Muslim or Zoroastrian or Pentecostal, whatever they call themselves. Jesus died for every single person. Amen?
Amen.
Good. And that life, or former life, was buried with him. He rose again, so we can rise up in faith. And the way was opened to give all those who put their trust in him eternal life. Imagine when your happiest moment that you've spent, and that goes on and on and on and on and on. It doesn't stop. That's wonderful. That's how God made us to be, to enjoy life. But the vicissitudes of life, we go up, we go down, oh, I'm so down today. But we rise up again, because we have God's Spirit. We are blessed again, because he said, blessed are those who suffer persecutions for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There are people all around the world, and especially where Christianity is not the dominant religion, who are persecuted for their belief in the true God. Or brethren are being tortured and killed because they have chosen the God who chose them. Choosing to live righteously can bring persecution at home and abroad. But we must not be discouraged. But rather, we must pray for those who are being persecuted, even killed, for the name of Christ. And we give God thanks that in this country, at least we can worship in peace, in freedom. But we must not forget those who are not able to do as we do. Okay, as we're drawing to a close, we must remember that what we may go through here on earth cannot be compared with the joy that awaits us in heaven. In fact, it is so fantastic that the Apostle Paul considered it better to be with the Lord than to live here on earth. He only stayed because the church needed him. God has us in his church to educate us and to bring others to it also. Like Paul, we have a job to do, because talking to others of future positions in his kingdom is secure. So you hear the good news, you come to church, do not just keep it to yourself. The whole purpose is to go out there 24/7 to tell others. If each one of us brought one person, just come to church and just listen, you'll get something. And they might come. Just invite them. Because we not only want to be saved, we want others to be saved. Jesus said he does not desire for anyone to perish. That means some will perish. It indicates that. So it's not that the whole world, as the Muslims say, everybody will be converted to Islam. No. Not everybody will be saved. But we are to go and tell others so that everybody comes under the influence. They might come one evening, Sunday evening, and then we don't see them for a long time. But they are going out into the world, and they remember what they heard, and we don't know in their sphere of influence who they will meet and who they will tell what they heard. That's the way the good news is spread. If you go to the cinema, for instance, and you see a good film, oh, really good, you're not going to keep it to yourself. The next day you're at work and you're telling everybody about, you must see this film. Oh, it's fantastic. This and that happened. And the hero. That's how we must be for Jesus and for the kingdom. So, to conclude, the last one is, blessed are you when men shall revile you. Blessed. And they're reviling you. He said, and they will persecute you. And they shall say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Because people get ridiculed all the time because they're Christians. Just because they're Christians. It's not how you look or whatever. You're a Christian, so you get persecuted. He said, they persecuted me, they will persecute my followers also. But this is what Jesus says, rejoice! And be exceedingly glad. Just the opposite of what we feel. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted and the prophets who came before you. So before we were here, there were prophets telling of the things to come. The prophets were telling about us today. And we are here now. And so we will expect some sorrow, some persecution, but we are to rejoice when this happens, because what the prophets said is coming to pass, so we can faith in the word of God. This seems at first to be just like the previous course on persecution, but it is indeed a bit different. In this case, it's talking about being persecuted for Jesus' sake. To me, this speaks of being attacked for following Jesus and his instructions. Jesus said that his disciples would spread the good news and make disciples, home and abroad. This can put people's noses out of joint. In this age, people want everything for themselves. And to have someone around who wants to give to outsiders goes against the grain. Do you find that many times? The thing is God and Christ are not surprised. That's why they tell us in advance that there is a reward waiting for us. When we recognize how much we have been forgiven, and thus we have God accordingly. We love God so much for what he has done for us that we cannot but tell this good news. Isn't it amazing when a God's plan comes together and you know that you are in Christ and you are the righteousness of God in him? Have nothing that can take this away from you. So, as a true Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, no sins are imputed to you, but your sins are forgiven. And you are a mighty man or a mighty woman for God. whatever you do and wherever you go, Christ will make a difference. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.